This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and the importance of faith in the different areas of our lives. Whether you are in the workplace or you're a student or an at-home parent or maybe you're taking care of a loved one or just maybe you're someone who has never really had faith and you're searching for what your purpose is. Well, the next 30 minutes is just for you, as we will interview everyday people who will share their everyday faith. Now, what is faith? According to the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And why is faith important? Also from the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And how do you get faith is our last question. Well, according to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Thank you so much for joining us today on the show. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes. If you want to hear them, you can just search under Everyday Faith, or you can visit the WCHV.com website as well. We've got the podcasts on there. We also have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we appreciate your comments and your encouragements. And we welcome your prayer requests. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Scottsville Elementary School PTO will host the Scottsville Scoot Kids Run Walk 5K April 25th, Dorrier Park at 8 a.m. Creative Healing, it's an annual art exhibit that coincides with National Mental Health Awareness Month, will have their opening reception on May 1st from 6 till 8 at the Stanton Augusta Art Center. On May 2nd, the Piedmont Gardeners Virginia Co-op Extension and the Charlottesville Area Tree Stewards will hold their annual plant sale from 9 till noon in the Ix Building. A jump rope event to raise money for St. Jude Research Hospital will be held on May 16th at the Herman Key Rec Center on Market Street in Charlottesville starting at 10 a.m. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our Concerts Events calendar at wchv.com.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have my friend Tony Simarusti. Tony, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Jeff.
Tony, on this program, what we like to do is have our guests share their faith journey. But I think with you, what I'd like to do is start with kind of where you are right now. If you could tell us a little bit about your career, and then we'll go back and talk about your faith journey.
Great. Well, I live in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, with my wife and my four sons who are all but raised. And I run a fund of funds of hedge funds and some family offices. Been in the investment business for more than 30 years, starting out with UniCal, coming out of college, and then going back to graduate school and being in finance and investing for the better part of three decades.
Could you walk us through your faith journey, and if you could kind of take us through a little bit of your sports career as well?
Sure, I'd love to. Well, I grew up in a home In East L.A. County, my dad drove a truck for Weber's Bread. My mom worked as a secretary in a labeling plant for Avery Label. And as my dad used to say, boy, son, why is there so much of the month left at the end of the money? Mm-hmm. Always seemed like we never had enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, if I worked real hard in school and sports, that maybe there could be enough in my family. And I did those things and ended up becoming an all-Southern California athlete in football and wrestling, and was recruited by a number of places around the country and matriculated at Harvard, went on to be their wrestling captain and a football player there. Eventually went back to the business school and coached football and wrestling at Harvard College and went through the Harvard Business School and ended up taking a job on Wall Street. And I was so surprised, though, that after each of the successes, I felt like I was climbing a mountain, and I would get to the top of the mountain, and there was nothing there. And it was mountain after mountain. And that same mountain I ran into on Wall Street, and I realized there was just something missing in my life. And I knew enough about God, and I knew enough about Christianity, that I knew the answer was Christ, but I didn't know how to make Christ the center of my life. I believed in Jesus, and I believed in God, but I never knew how to make Jesus the center of my life. And one evening in January of 1987, a classmate from Harvard Business School, Rick Pivorato, took me to a Bible study at 20 East 73rd, where I met a couple of people named Ron Frazier and Pete Sorensen, who helped change my life forever. They introduced me to Jesus in a way I never knew him before, and they taught me about the Holy Spirit and how to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was life-changing for me. Once I realized, yes, Christianity was for me and that I could do it, but I needed to stop trying and I needed to start surrendering my life to Jesus, everything changed.
A little different viewpoint of life as we talk about kind of your career. There's so much achievement. You're this great athlete. You go to one of the premier schools in the country, business school, Wall Street, achievement. And then yet you find that it didn't fill you up, so to speak. It didn't fulfill you. And you find out that the road to achievement isn't necessarily the road to faith.
Sure. Well, I don't think that they're necessarily contradictory or that you can't be successful and have faith. But what I had come to know was that you couldn't put success first, that there was no way that you could put success first and try and make God second and be happy. And that's what I've been doing all my life, was trying to put me and my successes and moving from one success to another, punctuated by hours of personal selfish experience and drifting in and out of experiences. I had never put Jesus first in my life. I'd never really come to understand what it meant to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I was trying to believe in God and yet live my life as I best saw fit. When I began to surrender my life to Jesus, when I started to say, Jesus, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I have no future plans of my own. When I started really saying that prayer and meaning that prayer, my life changed. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, he gave it back to me, and he gave it back to me in spades. Over and over again, I found that as I surrendered my life to God, God gave me back 10x better. It just was always better. He gave me more peace and more joy. He gave me love and friendship. He gave me the things that I'd always yearned for, that sense of being okay and being all right without having to be on the top of the medal stand. And I began to understand what it meant to love God and to love others with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. I had a chance to start leading some of the guys I worked with on Wall Street to Jesus. I had the opportunity to explain the gospel to my dad and to help him understand what it means to live through the power of the Holy Spirit. My friendships with my best friends at home changed dramatically. In fact, I remember one of the most exciting times of my life. Just a few years after I came to Christ, I met my wife, Martha, and we were married in a very short period of time, 7 months later. And at my wedding, one of her friends asked Rob, one of my good wrestling buddies and who had become a fireman, said, Rob, are you a Christian? And he said, no, I'm not. He said, but I sure am interested. And Connie said, why is that? He said, because I've seen what Jesus has done for Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus changed my life, and learning to live through the power of the Holy Spirit was amazing. Learning how to spiritually breathe changed everything. I became alive in Christ for the first time while working on Wall Street.
Let's talk about that. The book of Colossians has been a meaningful book to me in the Bible, and it talks about how we are already approved in Christ. And when we focus, we live our life from that standpoint, having already been approved, having already been qualified, having already been rescued and delivered, it gives us the freedom to live our life in a different way instead of striving for the world's approval. And I can see as I listen to your story that there was that change in you, as you know, you were no longer after the world's approval. You were able to live with the freedom knowing that you're already approved by Christ.
Yes, that's right. Well, for the first time, I felt alive and I felt free. I didn't feel like I needed to win one more medal or one more trophy, that I could just live my life and that I could experience God's peace. And in 1993, I met a priest in Toronto who changed my life when he said this to me. He said that you have a choice. You can either spend your life running around begging for the affirmation of the world, saying, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He said, or you can surrender your life to Jesus, and you can spend time alone with him each day, and where that guy who knows you so well can tell you things you hadn't planned on, where he can tell you how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, where he can help console you with your hurts, where he can tell you about things that you hadn't planned on that will be happening that day. Or you can go the other way and continue to spend your life running around begging for the affirmation of the world. That was life-changing for me. That man's name was Father Henry Nouwen, and he had an amazing impact on both my wife and myself. I'll be forever grateful. I look forward to seeing Henry again in heaven.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we're talking with Tony Cimarusti, an extremely successful businessman. Tony, can you give us a time, was there ever a time in your life where your faith had to help you during your business career? Was there ever a time that you can kind of think of when things are going, you're having a tough day or a tough run of things, and your faith was able to kind of carry you through some really difficult and challenging experiences? Is there anything come to mind on that?
Oh, sure. There are dozens of opportunities or times like that, but my mind's harkened back to a time more than 20 years ago when I had just left the Board of Trade and had worked for a number of years with Joe Ritchie and some terrific people at Chicago Research and Trading. I was working on my own. I was doing some consulting, and I was trying to understand what the next chapter of my life was supposed to look like. And I did some investment analysis and advisory work for a wealthy investor. And I think that I made him about $2 million over about six or eight weeks that I could point to. There was a whole bunch of other things that I did for him during that time period. And as well, that I think could have added maybe multiples to that number. And the guy didn't pay me. And so I called him up and I said, hey, you never paid me for the work I did. And he said, okay. And so he owed me about $15,000. And a week later, he sent me a check for $7,500. And I called him up and I asked him why he hadn't paid me the full amount. And he said, well, I talked to my guys, and they said that's all it was worth. And it literally broke me. It broke my heart. I don't know why it hurt so bad, but it did. And I called my wife in, and I said, Martha, will you pray with me? This is just too important for me to become bitter about this. And I prayed for that man, and I prayed for myself that my heart would be soft. And I remember my words. I said, Lord, you could have caused him to want to pay me $30,000 instead of $7,500, but you didn't. Just pray that my heart will stay soft and I would love this man and stay his friend. Well, a year and a half later, I opened a fund. And, you know, I had a few friends put in $100,000 and $300,000, and the Ritchie family and a few others put a million or two in each. And I had one big outside investor. And that's right. That man was my big outside investor. He put in over $5 million. And over the next 5, 6, 7 years, he introduced us to a number of investors and other people. And we made 200 to 300 times that amount of money, that's $7,500, from that single client and his friends. That man blessed my socks off. Mm. That was clearly a test, I believe, mm-hmm. now in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
He just, you know, for whatever reason, that's what he paid me. But he more than made it up to me over the next 6, 7, 8 years. Mm. And I'm forever grateful that I stood the test.
Mm. And how faithful you were in that situation of, you know, as you said, you know, praying for your heart to soften and still be able to love the guy who has shorted you hard-earned money. And yet you were able to do that. And it ends up, you know, God shows again and again that he is faithful. And the multiple of business that that brought you.
Well, he is. And we often talk about God being sovereign over all things, sovereign, literally in control. Well, is he sovereign in that situation or not? Do I believe that he's sovereign? Either I do or I don't. Now, we say we believe in God's sovereignty, but when something doesn't go our way, we get upset about it.
Mm.
The Lord says to us, look, lend to those freely. And understand that sometimes you're not going to get paid back. That sometimes you won't get your reward in this life. That's okay. You have to trust God. Either you believe him or you don't.
Mm-hmm. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Tony, thank you so much for your great faith journey. We're going to take a break and come right back. We're going to talk a little bit about Tony's favorite Bible story or story in the gospel. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back in just a moment.
News and sports supported by Unbound. Mothers around the world have the power to lift their families out of poverty. They just need a little help. Make a difference in the life of a family today at unbound.org. Unbound.org.
Baseball, barbecues, birthday celebrations. Wouldn't you love to share your America with a high school student from one of 70 countries? Volunteer. Become a PAX host family today. Visit PAX.org. That's PAX.org.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney. Here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we're having a delightful morning chat with Tony Cimarusti. And Tony, I want to go a little bit deeper before we get into your favorite gospel story. I want to go back up to the story where you had the investor who withheld some of your earnings, and it just there's a couple of themes from the Bible that jump out to me. One is sometimes, you know, we find this in the Bible, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. And, you know, in this case, for those of you that missed the first half of the program, Tony had a major investor who didn't pay him the full amount. And in that moment, Tony, what I see is that had you reacted to that situation without being firmly rooted in Christ, it would have been so easy for you to get angry and bitter and to do what most normal folks would do in the world and sever the relationship. And yet, through that, you were able to pray through it, ask the Lord for strength, ask the Lord to do a good work on your heart, and you stayed with the client, and years later, it ends up paying you off a handsome sum.
Yes, it sure did. Well, I'd start by saying, first of all, that I had told him he could pay me whatever he wanted.
Mm.
But I didn't understand why, when the results had been so good, that he paid me less.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was God, that God clearly at that time was hardening his heart for some reason,
mm-hmm.
in the same way that God softened his heart a year or two later, and he helped me build my business out of the goodness of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, not sure how that works. I do understand that every time that someone has hurt me and I've turned the other cheek, or I've prayed for them, as the scripture tells us, that without exception, it tends to work out. Maybe not the way I want at the time,
right,
but ultimately for God's good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the quote you quoted earlier actually comes from Genesis 50:20. And we call that the 50-20 rule. What man intends for evil, God will use for good. In other words, there's nothing that anyone can do to me. A referee cheating in a game or an umpire not giving calls to your team. Doesn't matter what they do. Whatever they do out of evil means, God will use for good. Mm-hmm. Because that's how God rolls. And that's what the scripture says. What man intends for evil, God will use for good.
And I believe that there might have been a little spiritual warfare coming after you in that time, because we've talked about this on the program. The verse from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, but I have come so that you may have and enjoy life, and life to the full, an abundant life, an overflowing life. And we see that really kind of playing out in your life in that certain situation.
Yeah, in each and every situation. Mm-hmm. If I will surrender to Jesus, from someone taking my parking place or cutting me off on the freeway, mm-hmm. to someone being rude to you, or to being shortchanged in a business deal, knowing that God is watching, and each and every opportunity is either a test or an opportunity to bring the gospel to someone else. Even though it doesn't seem fair, and life isn't fair, but God is just, and God will one day balance the scales. And he very often takes care of it in the short run as well as the long run.
That's right. Let's move into, in the remaining portions of our program, what does God have on your heart right now in terms of you're a student of God's Word, you love to read God's Word? What is kind of on your heart right now in terms of God's Word that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, there's a story that I'd like to share that Chuck Colson shared with me years ago, and it comes from his second book, Loving God. But it's a great story of the gospel of Christ in action. There were two women, two unlikely co-conspirators, a Baptist missionary and a Catholic nun, who got together in the Midwest, and they raised money to buy a house so aptly named the Agape House. The Agape House was right down the street from a prison in a small town. There were no hotels for 30 or 40 miles within this the range of this prison. And these two women opened this house, Agape House, and for $2, I believe it was $2 back then, 40 years ago, a woman could get a warm bed, a hot meal, a Bible, and child care for her children while she was visiting her husband or her boyfriend at the prison. Well, one night after dinner, a bunch of the women were sitting around the table, and there was a woman named Sherry. She was a bartender, and her husband was in for life, and she was trying to keep her family together. And she sat back and said, you know, I didn't grow up going to church. I don't know much about God. She said, but if there is a God, he must be something like these two women who run this house. And Chuck told me years later, he said, you know, when I die, I don't want him to name a ball field or a street or anything else like that. He said, but if one person would just say, if there's a God, he must be something like Chuck Colson, I will have considered my life a success.
That's powerful. That's good stuff. Can you talk to us a little bit about faith and parenting? You have four boys.
Four sons, that's correct.
And what are their ages now?
Michael graduated from Wheaton 2 years ago and is trading in Chicago. Wesley is a junior at the University of Michigan, and he'll be headed into Officer Candidate School for the Marine Corps. Caleb is a freshman just finishing up his plebe year, yay, at the U.S. Naval Academy. He also plans to join the Marine Corps. And then Mac is a junior in high school, and he plans to attend Baylor 18 months from now.
So a lot of success in your household. Could you share with us any in terms of how faith and parenting and faith and marriage and faith and family, how that all works for you in terms of anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. I'd love to. I mean, the three things I would say that I most significant contributions I have to the raising four wonderful Christian young men, and in no particular order, but they are, I married the right woman, I married the right woman, and I married the right woman. My wife, Martha, gets most of the credit, and she is just, she's one of my heroes, and she's an awesome lady. She loves the Lord. She loves those boys, and she has done a great job of raising them in the admonition of the Lord. We're a partnership, but because I travel so much in business and coaching, and often I was on the road, and Martha was their primary lover and nurturer and caregiver, and she's just done a fantastic job of raising those boys in the counsel of God.
Well, one of the things that you and I both share is there are four children in the Gaffney household from age 16 to 21 in my house, is that our kids are so aware of what we're doing. And so for any of the young fathers out there, to just be aware that the kids are watching you and they will study how you handle adversity. They'll study how you handle the good times and the bad times. But what I found with my kids is they will really pay attention to how am I handling the wait staff at the restaurant? Am I respectful there? How am I handling somebody on the telephone who has, I'm in the real estate business, and so there's oftentimes situations that come up where things can get a little heated in the real estate business. And so my kids, when they sense that there's a little bit of conflict going on, they will tune in like, okay, let's see. Does he just talk about the Bible? Does he just talk about faith? Or is he actually living it?
Yeah.
And I bet you've seen that in your house as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was the poet Edgar Guest that said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather you walk with me than simply point the way. The eye is a more willing pupil than ever was the ear. And good advice is often confusing, but example is always clear. And look, literally in teaching and everything that you know, people learn best by seeing it in action.
That's right.
You know, they'll remember a bit of what you tell them, but they'll remember most of what they see. And so if I want to really be a great parent to my children, the first thing I need to do is to love God with all my heart. Mm-hmm. And the second thing I need to do is to love their mother with all my heart. Those two things. And as I love others, you know, those three things, my sons will see it. They see their dad when he's a hypocrite. They see their dad when he's serving Christ. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. He said in Romans 7, oh, what a wretched man I am. Why do I do the things I don't want to do and don't do the things I ought to do? And yet, in the very next chapter, he says, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, who also wrote that I'm a wretched man, also turns around and says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Emulate me as I emulate Christ.
That's a good word by Tony Cimarusti. And Tony, one of the things, and we're almost done with today's program, but one of the things you touched on that I found is so important in our household is loving and respecting your wife in front of the children. When I come home from work, especially when my kids were young, I would always go to my wife first. The kids would come and grab the ankle, but I would say, wait, just a moment. Mom first. My wife comes first. And kids, I found, they end up being, that ends up bringing them a sense of comfort, knowing that mom and dad, you know, are actually love each other.
Absolutely.
And I think that helps the kids also model out their relationships later on in life. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Again, if you get a chance, check us out on iTunes. Tony, again, thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. God bless.
Thank you. God, we need